Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today sitting in North Carolina, of all places. This is a road trip episode of Trivial Warfare. I just got into... Where are we, Dan? We're in Locust?
We are in Locust, North Carolina.
I didn't see any locusts on the way here.
They're coming any moment.
So, with me today... I don't remember people's last names. I apologize. We have Dan. Dan, what's your last name?
Lundberg.
Okay, we have Dan Lundberg. Say hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello. We have Mike Cameron.
Correct.
Hey, I got your last name right. That's good. We have Adam Martin.
Very good.
Oh, very good. Yes, yes, yes. And we have Suhas Pai.
Excellent, yes.
Did I pronounce it correctly?
You got it exactly right.
Now, this is you guys are kind of our Trivial Warfare North Carolina branch. You guys play in the same game with each other. On a regular basis.
No, against each other.
I did mean to say against each other. You play with each other in the sense that you're in the same place.
Yes.
But you're...
Often in the same room, even.
You're lifelong enemies, though. No.
We're frenemies.
Yes,
there you go.
You've sacked each other's villages. There has been pillaging. You've pillaged the village. So, the reason I'm here is that Mike reached out to me and said, hey, there's a big... what is it? A team trivia game?
It's a national tournament, actually. Yes.
A national tournament, and it's on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you said, hey, we have one spot, Jonathan. Would you like to come up and fill it? And I said, what's it worth? And you said there was around a $10,000 grand prize.
Correct.
And I said, you know what? That's worth it. Let's do it. And on my way up, I was thinking to myself, I wonder why it is that Adam and Suhas haven't gotten together with Dan and Mike, because I see everybody who's on the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group has interacted with you guys and has seen your answering of different questions, and you're all very good. So I would think that together you would be almost a super group and almost assured a victory. So why is it that that hasn't happened?
Well, they've been pretty much assured a victory without us. So I don't know how it would really benefit them, and at least in the tournament. So Suhas and I and my girlfriend play, well, now it's 5 times a week. And
holy
it
moly.
Has been 6 times a week, and it's been as much as 7 times a week. And we've been doing that for 4 years now.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so four years, and pretty consistent. We've missed a game here and there, but never two in a row. So we've played hundreds and hundreds of games. And a lot of them against Mike and Dan and their teams and various combinations and things like that. So we've got a long history of rivalry, and they've done really well in the tournaments.
And I think it's important to note that Mike and Dan play together pretty regularly, but they also have other teammates that they play with.
And other lives.
So they have things to do. Logistically, I'm not sure it would have worked. We've got a core of about five. We lost one to New York just not too long ago. So. That. Cards on the table. When my old partner and I were playing, we had considered asking you guys to join together, and then I ended up with these guys and kind of haven't looked back yet. So,
all right, guys. Well, are you ready for the warm it up, Chris? Question.
Let's do it.
All right, it's time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
We have a question sent in by Brian Eller. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your question. What I have is a list of the top 10 largest public universities in the U.S. by enrollment. We're going to go around the room, and it's not teams. Right now, you're individuals. We'll start with Suhas and go left to right. If you miss two, you are out. Last man standing wins, or if you get them all, then everybody who's left when they're all gone wins.
So we're just playing this independently?
Yes.
Okay.
Not scored as part of the game.
Right.
All right, Suhas, what's your first guess?
I'll say the University of Texas.
Oh. University of Texas at Austin is number 7 with 50,950. All right, Adam.
I went to a Big Ten school, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but why don't we go with The Ohio State University?
The Ohio State University is number 3 at 55,508. Mike, you're up.
I'm going to go – I'm suck at college stuff, sports.
It's not really a sports question.
Well, I know, but I don't know if they're public or private half the time. I'm going to say the USC Trojans, University of Southern California Trojans.
University of Southern California is not on the list.
Yeah, of course not.
That's our first miss. All right, Dan, it's up to you.
How about the Wolverines of Michigan?
University of Michigan, not on the list. All right, Suhas, back over to you.
Well, I'm a little surprised that Southern Cal and Michigan aren't on the list. That sort of changes my thinking a little bit. Gosh, I know that the University of Tennessee has a really big football stadium. Now, that could just be because a lot of people from all around come to see the team play. For many, many years, they didn't have a pro sports team in the state. So Tennessee football is probably the biggest thing. But I think it's a pretty big school enrollment-wise. So I'm going to go with the University of Tennessee.
University of Tennessee, not on the list. Adam, over to you.
Okay, I was surprised by Michigan not being on the list. I'm going to stick with what I know. And I lived in Chicago for a lot of years, and alumni from all the Big Ten schools come there. And I was always surprised at how many Iowa alums were there. Consistently surprised. So I'm going to go with Iowa.
University of Iowa?
University of Iowa.
University of Iowa. Not on the list. Ooh. Everybody has a miss. So the next person to miss is out. There are, we've only named two. There are still 8 colleges on this list.
This just isn't a list you tend to see very often. So I'm struggling a little bit here.
We're all a little older. None of us are college aged anymore, but I'm sure somebody sees us on a regular basis. All right, Mike, it's up to you.
I'm trying to think where my friend Aaron went to school in a really big, it was in Kentucky. I don't know the actual name of the school. It was in Louisville. I'm just going to say the Kentucky Wildcats, whatever school they're with.
That's the University of Kentucky.
Okay.
Not on the list. Mike has been eliminated.
I'm right behind you, Mike.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, Dan, what you got?
I'm positive there's another Big Ten school on this list. I'm positive of it. And I wouldn't hear the end of it if I didn't go with the one that I'm about to go with. I know there's probably 50,000 undergrads at the University of Minnesota, so I'm going to go with that. It's in a huge city. It's a lot of people coming around to it. So I'm going to go with the University of Minnesota.
All right, Dan. You are correct. No. Number 8 on the list is University of Minnesota with 50,678. Well done. Suhas, 7 to choose from.
I got to think that at least one SEC school is on this list. I mean, I'd be surprised if there were none that are. I think I'm going to go with the University of Florida as my next guess.
University of Florida, mm-hmm. Number 5 on the list with 52,519. Well done. All right, Adam.
Okay, going back to the well. I'm really surprised that Michigan was not on there, but Minnesota was.
Michigan has the bigger stadium.
Yeah.
Minnesota has
exactly, more exactly. I am going to go back to the well, and I'm
What gonna, state is the well in?
The well is in a place called Happy Valley, and that's Penn State University.
I'm sorry, my friend.
No!
Just been eliminated.
Oh, no.
Penn State is not on the list.
Thank you, Adam. That was my next answer.
It is down to Dan and Suhas.
All right. There's plenty of people going to school in Michigan. They must be going to Lansing. So we're going to go to Michigan State University.
Michigan State University, number 9 on the list. I was shocked by that. I thought Michigan would have more than Michigan State. But no, I was wrong. So Dan is still alive. After missing his first one, he's got 2 in a row here. Suhas, it's over to you. If you miss it, you're out.
Right. Well, I think I'm going to switch conferences I think I'll go to the ACC and go with Florida State.
A lot of teams in Florida on here. Or teams. A lot of schools in Florida on here. But Florida State University is not one of them. Suhas has been eliminated. Dan, you're the winner. Can you win with a bullet and answer one more?
Well, you told me that there's more of my Florida schools on there. So, But I'm not thinking of any huge ones that are just jumping out at me. The one that I was going to go with next, I was going to stay in the Big Ten, actually. I was going to go to Madison, to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin.
That would have been an incorrect answer.
Well, I'm glad I didn't do it then.
The schools remaining. Number 10, Indiana University, Bloomington, 48,000. Number 6, Arizona State University in Tempe with 51,900. Mike, you had it written down?
Yes.
Florida International University in Miami, Florida with 54,000.
Yeah, I wasn't going to come up with that.
No.
15 guesses.
Texas A&M University, College Station, with 58,000. And last but not least, the UCF Knights, University of Central Florida, 63,000, number one highest enrollment in the U.S.
That's surprising.
People like to live in Florida.
Apparently.
You have to realize this. All right, guys, good job. We managed to get half of them. Not bad at all. All right. Before we get started, I do want to tell you that a ton of today's questions came from a listener, Mike Mowry. Mike, thank you so much. I thought you did a great job with the questions you sent in. He sent a full game. I cut out about half of them. So I used almost half of these are Mike's.
Where's Mike from?
I don't know where Mike is from, but if he's in college, there's a higher percentage that he's at UCF than anywhere else. I actually have no idea where Mike is from. It'd be funny if he was from North Carolina. All right, are we ready?
Let's do it.
Yes. All right, it's time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started. Round 1, question 1. Category is science.
Science!
Wow, we had a little echo effect in here. Well done. Your question is, what type of animal twists its head upside down to eat? What type of animal twists its head upside down to eat?
Well, there's a lot of not talking going on.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we'll lock in.
Okay,
we'll talk. We'll talk it out.
Dan and Mike are locked in. Adam and Suhas, what are you thinking?
Okay, Suhas put praying mantis. I really have no clue on this one at all. What was your thinking behind praying mantis?
My thinking is it's a well-known fact, I suppose, that the female praying mantis eats the male after they mate. And I was just thinking about that ritual, I guess. And it occurred to me that it might be possible that the female praying mantis actually turns its head around to do that.
From the position she was in? Or?
Correct, yeah. I can't think of a particular instance where I've observed any animal turning its head completely around to eat.
Well, I was thinking it's turning it upside down.
Just thinking about it from the standpoint of repositioning its head, my thought was that it's probably not a vertebrate because it would damage the spine too much. I mean, they wouldn't have the flexibility to be able to do it. So it's more likely to be an insect or something lower order.
The first one that came into my mind was a vertebrate, and I was thinking like a giraffe that somehow it's got to get up and over. And like you said, that would probably do some neck damage. And then I was thinking something with a very flexible body, like a some kind of cephalopod, like an octopus or a squid. But that would be turning your whole body upside down. So I really don't have anything better than a praying mantis.
Yeah, I'm not really sure of what other animal turns its head.
An owl eating, but, turns its head, yeah, but it doesn't turn it upside down.
Just not upside down, right?
You put a meat lover's pizza in front of me and I'll do it.
So if unless you came up with something else while we were talking it out.
Right. Now, anything is going to be a guess, so I'm perfectly happy to go with that. I don't have a lot of confidence that it's right, but I don't have a better answer either. So
that's what we will go with, praying mantis.
All right. Dan and Mike.
We went with a flamingo.
The flamingo, the top of its bill, top half of its bill, is actually shaped like a scoop. And they stand up and they turn their head over to scoop the food out of the water.
Yep.
And
nice
they
job,
eat
Mike.
It in that position. The answer is a flamingo.
That was all so Mike.
Are these all going to be Florida themed questions?
All right. Good job. All right. We already have a wrong answer. I'm so happy.
You have no so
idea.
Are we.
I, you have no idea how much I wanted
That's
to make sure.
Harsh.
Well, I wanted to make sure that that I had gotten the difficulty right over here.
Somewhere Russ is laughing.
Russ is always laughing at this game. Okay, question two in round one. Categories television. Mrs. Garrett was a memorable character on both Different Strokes and The Facts of Life. But do you remember her first name? 10 points if you do.
We're locked in.
I'm pretty sure this is right.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, what are you saying?
Yeah. We're going to go with Edna.
Edna. Okay.
And like I said, I went to a Big Ten school. That school was Northwestern University. Another alumna of that school was Charlotte Ray, who played Edna Garrett.
Gentlemen, the correct answer is Edna. Well done. Everybody gets their points.
Ray.
Off the schneid, gentlemen. Round one, question three, category is geography. What country shares a border with the highest number of other countries, and you have a bonus opportunity? I will give you 5 bonus points if you can tell me exactly how many countries it borders. So I want you to tell me what country shares a border with the highest number of other countries, and you'll get a 5-point bonus if you can tell me how many countries it borders.
Okay.
Well, we'll go ahead and lock in our answer.
As soon as you asked the question, my immediate thought was that the answer is China, because I remember a question from the Facebook page about the country that has the longest land border, and it's China, and it's a massive border, and it's over 22,000 kilometers. But the tricky part of the question is, I mean, Russia obviously is a much larger country than China, and it also borders quite a few countries. And so it's I wrote the answer down, and I started thinking about it, and I realized it might be possible that the answer is actually Russia. So I wanted to take a moment to try and think of all the countries that both countries border and see if I could come up with the answer.
First.
So Russia borders Finland, it borders Norway, it borders Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine. I'm pretty sure it borders Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia. It borders Kazakhstan. I think it borders Turkmenistan. It definitely borders Mongolia and China. And I think it even borders one of the other former Central Asian republics, like either Tajikistan or Kyrgyzstan. So there are at least 15 for Russia.
It doesn't have a small border with North Korea.
That's true. It has a border with North Korea as well. So then China has a border with North Korea. It borders Mongolia. It definitely borders Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan. It borders Pakistan. It borders India. It borders Nepal. It borders Bhutan. It borders Burma, I'm pretty sure. It borders Vietnam. And I think it borders a couple more countries in Southeast Asia, but that's still only 13.
Well, Vietnam.
Yeah, I said Vietnam. Oh, that was my 11th. I think it borders Laos, and I think it borders Cambodia, but I'm not 100% sure that it borders anything else. I think at this point, just based on the count, it actually may be Russia, and the number is 16.
I was kind of following along, so I could go along with that.
Well, I guess we're going to lock in with Russia and say 16. Our number is 16 for the bonus points.
All right, Russia with 16. Dan and Mike, what are you thinking?
We had we also had Russia. We said 14. I'm pretty sure that's not right, but I took a Sporkle quiz on this morning, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Put all the countries that border Russia in the right place.
Hmm.
So I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive it's Russia, though. So
okay,
we
so
locked
your
in with
answer
Russia.
Is Russia, and you said 14. Correct answer, gentlemen. China.
Oh.
China, and unfortunately, because you didn't get the question right, you can't get the bonus. It was 14.
Oh, well.
China with 14.
Hey, guys. This is Jonathan with a note from the future. So we had a lot of debate in the background over this answer, and I wanted to share a little more detail with you to eliminate any confusion. So in today's world, technically, both Russia and China would have been correct. They both have 14. It wouldn't have changed the score in the game, but the way that it works is China actually borders 14 directly. Russia borders 14 if you count what's called the Kaliningrad Enclave. The Kaliningrad Enclave is separate from mainland Russia, and it is situated between Poland and Lithuania. It is part of sovereign Russia, though, which lifts Russia from 12 to 14. All right, back to the game.
All right, after the first round, the score is 20 to 10 with Mike and Dan in the lead.
All right.
Round two, question one. Categories games. I want you to tell me, what were the colors of the four hippos in the original 1978 version of Hungry, Hungry Hippos?
And this is the original game.
Yes, the game from 1978.
That's as good a guess as any.
Sure. I'm perfectly fine with that. We're locked in over here.
All right. Dan and Mike are locked in. Gentlemen, you can talk.
Okay, we've got some differences of opinion here.
Right. We each wrote down what we thought the four colors were, and our four colors didn't match. I think, though, that one of the keys is that you asked about the original four colors. I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe that the colors have changed over the years. And I think at least one of the colors that I wrote is a later color, not one of the originals. When I first heard the question, I wrote down purple, yellow, green, and red, and I'm not really all that confident that that's right, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I had pink. They all had names.
Right.
And I think that there was one female one, and she was a pink one. And I had two younger brothers, and we didn't play the pink one. We're more secure at this later age. But I had yellow, which I can see, and a green, which I imagine, and then when you say purple, I can think about it, but I'm thinking it's a light blue. I think there was like a light pink and a light blue, like a baby blanket blue and a baby blanket pink.
I could go with that. I think the purple might have been a later color, to be honest.
I imagine that we're going to get this wrong.
Sure.
But okay, so we're going with pink, blue, green, and yellow.
Okay. By the way, my favorite name of all of the hippos right now, Bottomless Potamus. Bottomless, man, he's awesome.
Yeah, I've got the game downstairs, not the original one though, and I'm banking on the colors not having changed since then, because I know that these are what colors they are now, and who knows, maybe they went back to them. But we wrote down orange, green, yellow, and blue.
Okay. I played this game with my kid pretty regularly, and today they are orange, green, yellow, and blue. In 1978, they were orange, green, yellow, and purple.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets it right, gentlemen. I've stumped you with the hungry, hungry hippos.
Yeah, I don't keep that game on my big shelf, but we do have it downstairs.
Round two, question two, categories holidays. The United States has 10 federal holidays. I want you to tell me which month or months contain more than one. The United States has 10 federal holidays. I want you to tell me which month or months contain more than one.
We're locked in.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and lock in.
All right. Dan and Mike say that they know the answer.
No, I said we locked in.
In my original note-taking, or whatever you want to call it, I wrote down that there were two in November and one in all the other months that had any. So I figured the answer to this question would be November. But Adam brought up a point that I wasn't entirely sure about, which is when I originally made my calculation, I considered Martin Luther King Jr. Day a federal holiday in January. but I didn't consider New Year's Day. And obviously, if New Year's Day is a federal holiday, then that would be two in January as well. So at the very least, then it would be January and November.
I'm almost positive that New Year's Day is a bank holiday. I almost guarantee that. And to borrow a phrase, we can go with game theory. And since he said how many months have more than one, I assume that it's more than one.
I did say month or months.
Yeah.
That could be one or more than one.
That's true.
That's correct. It could be up to 13.
But I think if it, once again, the game theory, I think Jonathan would have just said month if it had been month.
Okay. So I guess we would go, we'll lock in, I suppose, with our answer as being the months of January and November.
Okay. You're saying January and November. Mike and Dan, what did you come up with?
Well, Dan works for the school system, and so they are generally.
And my wife works for a major bank.
So they are going to be. And my experience is I used to run an arcade. So I know Veterans Day, there were a crap ton of kids in there with their grandparents. So I'm pretty sure school was out on Veterans Day. So we went the same thing, MLK, New Year's for January, and November, Veterans Day, and Thanksgiving, with those two months, January and November.
Okay. The holidays are New Year's, MLK Day, Thanksgiving, and Veterans Day. It is January and November.
Nice job, guys.
It was a long, long road to get there.
Everybody gets it right.
Hooray.
I don't know. Our road was pretty short.
Round two, question three, category is sports.
Sports.
Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith played 15 amazing seasons with the St. Louis Cardinals. But what team did he start his major league career with?
We're locked in. Not to be entertaining or anything, but we're locked in.
No, yeah, that was fast.
So we can talk now.
You can.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another team that he played for at any point before or after, you know, playing with the Cardinals. And I always picture him as a Cardinal, so I truly don't know the answer to this.
Growing up in the New York area, I'm almost positive he was not a Met or a Yankee. Going to school and living for many years in the Chicago area, I don't think he was a White Sox player, and I'm almost positive he was not a Cub. Dan was pretty quick on that, so it could be a Twin. Could he have been one of the, like, players that the A's brought up and then dealt? What year did they win the World Series in 84?
82.
82? Right? Okay. Yeah. So I remember that, and he had been in the league for a while.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah, unfortunately, this isn't a question that you could necessarily reason out. I mean, it's not a logic puzzle. I think it's a National League team, but that's not absolutely necessary either. Like you said, I mean, you could use game theory, I guess, and say, well, Dan locked in quickly, and he knows a lot about Minnesota, so it must be a Minnesota team. But I'm not really sure that applies. I mean, I think if you know the answer, you know the answer. So,
well, you're not falling into my trap? Come on.
I just don't know much about the man, unfortunately, so I don't really have any frame of reference to work from. I'm perfectly fine with going with whatever you think it is at this point.
I think he might have maybe even overlapped with Reggie Jackson and those early great A's teams.
I'm okay with that. I mean, it's going to be a guess.
Yeah, it's a guess.
You have a reason, so I'm fine with that. We're going to lock in with the Oakland A's.
Okay, Oakland A's. Gentlemen, what did you say?
I didn't think there was any way I was going to be able to reason this out if it was not right, so I just went with my gut, which I'm pretty sure I remember seeing this, that he came up with the San Diego Padres.
The answer is a West Coast team. It is the San Diego Padres.
Well done.
Good job, Dan.
Well done. Okay, gentlemen. So after the second round, it is Suhas and Adam with 20, Mike and Dan with 40.
We've been lapped.
Yeah, but we're sprinting. We're gonna slow down real quick,
right
here.
Yeah.
Round three, question one. Your category is Shakespeare. I want you to name one of the two different Shakespearean comedies with a word repeated more than once in the title, excluding articles. So the doesn't count, a doesn't count, and doesn't count. Name one of the two different Shakespearean comedies with a word repeated more than once in the title.
Locked in.
Suha says, I know it.
Ooh, we get to talk.
Wow, nice.
Okay, so I'm having a real hard time remembering my Shakespeare right now, and I know that...
right, yeah.
I know that the microphone takes about 15 IQ points off, so I'm going to put all my Shakespeare in those 15 points. The ones I'm coming up with, like Midsummer Night's Dream, not repeated, As You Like It.
As You Like It.
Not repeated.
Twelfth Night.
Twelfth Night, not repeated.
No. Merry Wives of Windsor. No.
Again, not repeated. Julius Caesar, not a comedy.
Not a comedy. Not repeated either.
Julius Caesar, Caesar.
Julius.
Sounds Julius. Like a Mel Brooks movie.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm drawing a total blank over here. I know it's something that's going to be obvious, and I'm going to kick myself for not remembering it. I'm trying to think of titles of things that are repeated, and suddenly I'm going, Tora, 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 in a World War II movie. And that's not a Shakespeare comedy.
I had Circus Circus from the Vegas Strip.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
I don't know where that came from either.
Oh, wow.
Which is close to Caesar's Palace. It's on the same side of the street.
Let's see. Market of Venice, not a comedy.
John, there was no bonus for knowing both of them. Or knowing
no bonus here.
Fair enough.
Thank God.
Is there a bonus for wasting a lot of time trying to come up with one?
We'd be winning the game by about 55
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
I can go grab a towel if you want to throw it.
I think we might have to tap out. I hate to not to put some answer of some sort.
The thing is, though, is that any answer we're going to put down is either not going to be a Shakespearean
right, exactly,
play or not going
yeah,
to have
exactly. So
words repeated in them.
What's the point, right? Yeah, do you just want to tap out?
The twelfth night, I believe, was the follow-up
the sequel.
The twelfth night.
The twelfth of the twelfth night is our official answer.
That's going to be our answer.
All right, gentlemen, I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
What?
I know, I'm sure you're shocked.
So, we went with Measure for Measure, but I think All's Well That Ends Well would have been acceptable as well.
It's like a brain freeze in reverse, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, I did that.
All's Well That Ends Well. I knew it was right there. I just couldn't pull it out.
Correct answers are All's Well That Ends Well and Measure for Measure. You would have gotten both of them if I'd asked for both of them. Good job. All right. Round three, question two, categories movies. There are only three movies that have won the Academy Award for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, and Best Adapted Screenplay. I want you to name one of them and three bonus points for each one you can name beyond the first.
Locked in.
Suhas is fast.
Are you locked in with all three?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have two of them written down, but we can talk about it.
Well, you have to.
So, and we will talk about it.
So you're actually talking about like the big five, basically. And I know One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is one, as well as Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, and adapted screenplay is the big part of this one here.
Correct. And both of those are original novels. They started out as novels. Mm-hmm. The other one I know that won the big five was It Happened One Night. But I don't know
if adapted screenplay was
around at that
point.
I don't know if that was adapted screenplay. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's thinking back to the power movies like in the 70s and, mm-hmm. and 80s, like The Godfather, Godfather 2 isn't going to have an actress that that won. It's been very rare for anything to sweep it lately. We know Titanic didn't do it because Leo didn't get it.
Right. I'm almost certain those are the only three that won the big five.
Okay, but you're talking...
Happened One Night.
But are you talking about supporting actor and supporting actress in there, or...
No. You said...
I'm fairly certain one of these two are correct, so
yes.
Let's go with those two, and then let's
add... These two are correct.
All right, so let's just do those three then.
Okay, all right. So our answers are One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Silence of the Lambs, and It Happened One Night.
Suhas and Adam?
We went in the order that they won. It Happened One Night in 1934, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975, and Silence of the Lambs in 1991.
Correct answers are One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975, Silence of the Lambs in 1991, and It Happened One Night in 1934.
Nice job, Mike. Nice job, guys.
I did not
Everybody know. Got all three of them. I am stunned by that, I'd like you to know. Stunned. So, who was the best actress in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Was it Nurse Ratched?
Yeah, Nurse Ratched.
Oh, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm sorry.
She won for best actress?
She did.
That's
she
what
did.
Was Louise tripping Fletcher. Me up when I asked the question. I was like, wait a minute. There's no way Nurse Ratched won best actress.
She did was sit there and look good.
And not even that good.
She looked mean.
She looked menacing.
I mean,
better than my psychiatric nurse. Put away.
Still, goodness gracious. Okay, good job, everybody. Round three, question three, categories art. The National Gallery in Oslo, Norway, is home to what famous masterpiece that has been the target of several thefts?
Yep, we're locked in.
Adam and Suhas say they know it.
And you're sure about that?
I'm almost positive on this. I've seen it there in the National Gallery in Oslo.
Well, if people tried to steal it,
we could talk it out. But I'm almost positive it's The Scream by Munk.
Yeah,
I've seen it there. Okay. I'm pretty sure that people have tried to walk off with that before. And I mean, Munk is huge in Norway. Yeah. So huge in Norway. So I think we'll go with The Scream.
All right. They said The Scream. Gentlemen, what did you say?
We said The Scream.
One of my favorite artists, Edvard Munch. The answer is The Scream.
There needs to be a movement to make sure that we pronounce his name Munch from here on. Edward Munch.
Mr. Munch to you. After the third round, going into the midpoint, tight game. It is now 66-56. Mike and Dan are still in the lead. Okay. Your midpoint question. Your category is Australia. You guys may not know this, but we have started developing a great following in Australia. Australia loves Trivial Warfare. So this question is a shout out to all of our Australian peeps. I want you to name the four cities in Australia with the highest populations.
So they like us so much in Australia, you just had to throw a question at us that we're going to just screw up and
No, no, I want them to get a chance to laugh at you because they all know the answer.
You sure?
I've named four Australian cities.
We may as well call this four Australian cities.
I'd like to point out that there are more than four cities in Australia.
Well, I can name a fifth.
Oh, hell,
but we're not going to go any further than that.
Well, no, I mean, if you can, write it down. If you think that's not right. That's not it.
No,
that can't
I'm
be.
I'm telling you, it's a city, though.
I believe you 100%, but...
Do you want to lock in with this, or do you want to...
I'm
or do you want to just keep this farce going up that we actually are going to come up with another city?
We might as well lock in, let them talk it out.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll lock in with what we've got here.
All right, guys, they've locked in. You can talk into the mics.
When you asked the question, I wrote down the four cities that that immediately came to my mind as being, quote-unquote, big cities in Australia, and this is... with the caveat that I don't know that much about Australia, so I may be wrong about how big they are. But I'm pretty confident that Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth are the three most populous cities on the continent. And then I put as my fourth answer Canberra, the capital. But Adam was pointing out that it's possible that it could be one of the other state capitals or territorial capitals that could be like maybe Darwin or Adelaide or Victoria or even Hobart in Tasmania could be a possible answer to this. My thinking was that the population of Australia is concentrated in the eastern part of the continent. The middle, not just the middle, but like extending pretty far west is desert. I mean, there's really nothing there. And there are certainly towns and cities and whatnot, but not major population centers. So I'd actually be pretty surprised if the answer, other than Perth, which is a well-known city and a pretty big city, other than that, I don't think that there is a big city in Australia on the western side or in the northern part of the continent.
You sure they didn't name a city after Margaret Court?
Courtville?
Yeah. I mean, I feel comfortable going with the four that I wrote down. If you feel very strongly that Adelaide is more populous than Canberra or Victoria is, I'm fine with that.
I thought Canberra was a notoriously small capital, but I really don't know if it's Victoria, Adelaide, or Darwin. So if you want to go with Canberra, that's fine. And we'll just go Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, and Canberra. Is that fine?
Yeah, okay. That's fine with me.
Those were the four cities I could also name.
Yeah, but literally on our page here, I've got Victoria. Is it a city?
I know it's like a territory.
I wrote down Alice Springs, but didn't circle that one because you were challenging me to come up with another city.
I did.
And then it says Margaret Court up in the corner up there. But yeah, we went with Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, and Canberra.
Okay, so correct answers with 4.6 million in New South Wales, Sydney, Australia, 4.6. 4.2 in Victoria is Melbourne. 1.9 in Western Australia is Perth. But 2.1 in Queensland is Brisbane. Brisbane, Australia. Everybody gets 15 points.
And shame for not knowing Brisbane. Sorry, Australia.
Totally forgot about Brisbane.
Yes.
It is 81-71. Mike and Dan are in the lead. Good game, guys.
All right. Before we go into the second half, I want to take a quick break and talk a little bit about Loot Crate. As you guys know, Loot Crate is the place to go if you want to sign up for an awesome subscription box service for geek and gamer gear. This month's theme is speed. That's right, speed. So what kind of stuff could you expect in a speed box? How about some Batman gear? Perhaps The Flash and Arrow from CW, Battlestar Galactica, Iron Man, and something from Gone in 60 Seconds. It's going to be a pretty cool box this month, guys. If you want to sign up for a subscription to Loot Crate and start getting these awesome and unique items delivered right to your door, you can go to www.lootcrate.com/TWA, and you can use the TWA coupon code to get 15% off of your first box. All right, let's get back to the game. Round 4, question 1. Category is, I was told there would be no math. This is going to be a unique question. Here's how we're going to do it. You're not actually going to answer it vocally. I'm going to have you write down your answers, one for each team, and bring them up to me. And the team that is most accurate will get the points.
Well, this is going to make some great audio then, isn't it?
Trust me. All right, gentlemen. This is an all or nothing category. I want you to name pi to as many places as you can. The person or team that can get the most consecutive numbers correct wins the points. A tie will result in points for both teams.
So it's just how many we get right. It's not how many.
It's how many consecutive numbers you get from the left.
Okay. Adam, you do appreciate having a pi question, though.
Adam has deferred to Suhas.
Wait. Is this P-A-I or just P-I?
It is P-I.
Okay, good. I was doing the right one then.
How many numbers in Suhas's social security number can you name?
I got the three part. There's a decimal in there, too. They're locked in, technically, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They brought it up to you.
Yeah, they are. You can talk
about it. We can actually talk this one out.
You can, absolutely. But you still got to bring it out to me.
Yeah, we will.
I was told that the base of pi is 7 divided into 22. So that's what I've been doing now. Whether that's right or not, if you think that's right, that actually looks a whole lot better than what I have.
Well.
So I'm okay with that.
All right. One of you might be somebody who had memorized it. So I actually listed pi out in my answer out to somewhere near 25 spaces.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even guess that many.
Suhas and Adam say.
Suhas did.
Suhas says 3.1415297. Dan and Mike say 3.1415729167 35. They just started adding random numbers at the end. Gentlemen, you both got 3, 1, 4, 1, 5, and that's where it stopped. The next correct digit would have been 9, 9, 2, 6, 5.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Suhas was closest. If he flip-flopped his 2 and his 9. So, it's a tie. You both get 10 points for 3.1415.
I guess we'll take that.
I'll take it.
That's a lucky break, gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
Let's not squander that lucky break, all right?
All right, here we go. Your next category, round four, question two. Category is history and memes. What traditional title of the leader of Venice is shared by a meme character?
Locked in.
You said meme, M-E-M-E?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
You guys can talk all you want now.
Well, we need to come up with a meme character, and then we can work backwards that way.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, you got Chemistry Dog.
Do you think the leader of yes, the leader of Venice is Angry Cat, Grumpy Cat?
The leader of Venice is Chemistry Dog.
The leader of Venice Grumpy is Rick Cat. Astley. Right, yeah.
Crying Michael Jordan very well could be, too.
Yeah. Leader of Venice. I don't have a clue what the hierarchy of Venice is.
I don't think that's the way we want to go here. I think we want to take our memes and work our way backwards toward the leader of Venice.
Is there a mayor meme? Would he just not be the mayor of Venice? I mean, Venice is a city, right?
I'm thinking it's probably a little less generic than mayor.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean,
can you think of a mayor meme?
Oh, mayor of Lonely Town. No, that's me.
Now that could be a meme. I mean,
Charlie the Unicorn. No, that's not going to be it.
No.
This is what we call squandering our good fortune from the last round.
Exactly. Prince.
It would help if we actually knew what the leader of Venice was.
Oh, correct.
I have to tell you, I didn't anticipate anybody trying to get this right by naming the memes and going from that direction.
Right, yeah.
You didn't anticipate us having to come up with the leader of Venice first, though.
Right.
Unless you can think of some kind of a famous meme, we're going to have to.
I don't know. Chancellor? Chancellor? Vice Chancellor? I don't think we might have to tap out.
We're not tapping out. We're going Grumpy Cat then.
Grumpy Cat?
Yeah.
You really think that the leader?
No, I have no idea. Grumpy? I do not think it's Grumpy Cat, but we're not tapping out.
Mafia? There's a mafia meme. Don? Sure. He's a Don. Unless you just want to go Grumpy Cat.
Well, Don's a much better answer than Grumpy Cat, but Grumpy Cat's a much funnier answer than Don.
Well,
let's go Don.
We'll go Don.
Now, do you mean Don like a mafia Don, or do you mean Don like random IT guy Don?
Don is old duck.
Yeah.
Okay. Sue, Austin, Adam, what did you think?
We went with Doge.
If you ever visit Venice, one of the main sights is to go and visit the Doge's palace. The leader of Venice is called the Doge.
And apparently there's a Doge meme as well.
It's a dog with an E on the end, and he's making a funny face.
Okay.
Look up Doge, and you'll find the meme.
I will.
I'm not going to, actually, just to spite you. No.
All right, gentlemen.
Opportunity squandered.
Round four, question three. Category is lost lyrics. I'm going to read you a line from a song. You need to tell me the name of the song. Now that the world isn't ending, it's love that I'm sending to you. Now that the world isn't ending, it's love that I'm sending to you.
I can hear it, but I'm not coming up with it right now.
I've got nothing. Anything with those lyrics right now. You think, is it a more recent song? Do you know? Do you have anything?
They're not locked in, so I don't want to talk it out yet.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Duh.
No, keep talking. Hum a few bars.
I was going to let it go.
Now that the world isn't ending, it's love that I'm sending to you.
Now that the world isn't ending, it's love that I'm sending to you.
I'm going to bust out singing it as soon as you tell the answer.
That is what we do here.
I don't think I'm going to come up with this.
If you've got anything in your mind, a tune, a hum, or anything, you've got more than I've got.
Yeah, but I don't. I can't place it. I know the words.
That doesn't fit the rhythm of that.
It doesn't.
At all.
It doesn't.
Dance to the beat of the rhythm of the night.
That's a big help, Jonathan. Yeah, thanks for putting a tune in my head now.
It's better than anything else we've got.
Yeah, sure.
We'll lock in.
Sure. Yeah, so y'all can.
Okay, Suhas, do you have anything?
I really don't. I know it's something that I've heard. I'm confident it's a famous song, and I'll kick myself when I hear what the answer is. But it's It's definitely not any of the songs that I've thought of in my head in the few minutes that we've been thinking about this. What did you think?
Well, for the typical trivia game, they usually go to ones that everybody in the room, like a group or an artist that everybody in the room's heard of before. So you go to the old standbys of Elvis, the Beatles, Frank Sinatra, somebody like that. But there's a Beatles song, All My Loving. All my loving, I will send to you. But I don't remember anything about the world not ending in that.
I actually think the melody to All My Loving is da na 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 na.
Yeah.
So now that the world is, I mean, it doesn't quite fit now that the world, but in All My Loving, isn't there a part that goes da na 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 na?
That lips I'm kissing. Remember, I'll always be true.
So that could be like now that the world is an ending, the love that.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Could be.
I think it could be that. I mean, that's a total shot in the dark.
Okay, we'll go with All My Loving by the Beatles.
If you backed your way into that, I'm going to be really upset because that sounds really good.
I like the way they did the melody there, too. It kind of fit. Yeah.
We did not go with that. We ventured into the 80s, and we've got True by Spandau Ballet.
Do, 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 do. That's not right. That's not
I
right
know
at all.
This
so,
much is
neither
true.
Of you got it right.
Okay.
If I had said that this is a famous song from a movie soundtrack, would that change your tunes at all? Just out of you're not getting any credit, but I'm curious because it's
Aerosmith.
No.
Okay.
No. Never mind. I'm going to try this. I'm not good. This is a bridge. Now that the world isn't ending, it's love that I'm sending to you. We soared on the wings of an eagle. And that's da-da-da-da-da-da.
You went Nickelback on us?
I went Chad Kroeger and Josie Wales from Spider-Man. It is Hero. A hero will save us.
There we go.
That is why the world wasn't ending.
Right.
I'm off of good. Team that's Jonathan good. Now.
That's tough. That's
it
tough.
Is a song that every person in this room has heard.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes.
Ad nauseum, I might add.
Yes.
Very popular, but
I tried to block it from my mind, but you brought
both
it back now.
You went groups as your strategy for trying to get to the answer, and you were never going to get there with groups because it wasn't a group.
We weren't going to get there because it was Chad Kroeger. Let's just be honest, okay?
All right, after round four, gentlemen, tie game.
Yeah.
91 to 91. Round five, category one is geography.
Oh, we screwed this up last time. Let's see if we can do it this time, too.
I get the sense that Suhas is good at geography, by the way. So
I usually, this is my wheelhouse usually.
Yes. Oh, okay. Dance.
What is the name of the sea found nestled between the east coast of Italy and the west coast of Croatia?
We'll lock in.
All right, Suhas says he knows it. Adam gave him the thumbs up, high five, ready to roll.
Croatia and Italy, right?
Croatia and Italy. Who knew?
If you keep going down the coast, I think you run into Greece. I think that's where the Adriatic is.
Okay.
That's my best guess.
Well, we know it's not the Mediterranean. No, if we're going around
part
Greece.
Of, it's part of the Mediterranean.
Right, but that specifically is...
I'm not going to be able to talk myself into any other answer besides this.
Okay.
So, I mean, if we just want to cut to the chase.
Go ahead.
This is what I'm going to have. Yeah. All right. We'll go with the Adriatic.
All right. You're saying Adriatic? Suhas, Adam?
We locked in with Adriatic.
So, the Adriatic Sea. Good job, gentlemen. We both get it right. All right. Round five, question two. Category is literature.
Literature.
Whoa. William Faulkner won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction on two separate occasions. I want you to name one of the books that he won for.
Okay. I mean, when I was thinking about the question, I thought of two books, and one of the ones I thought of was the one that you wrote down. So since we both think that that is one of the answers, why don't we go ahead and lock in with that?
Okay.
So we're going to lock in with the answer on this card.
So they're all locked in, so we can talk here.
We are locked in.
They are locked in.
I don't know if talking's going to help me.
I'm drawing a blank on anything by Faulkner, and I know that I know.
Steinbeck keeps jumping into my head.
Exactly.
I keep wanting to write down Of Mice and Men.
No,
and that's Steinbeck. Not,
yeah,
because that's not it.
Help us whatsoever.
Which way did he go, George?
I'm writing it down right now, as a matter of fact. Stop.
Just get, if it helped you get it out of your system, do it.
I'm not certain it would.
I'm drawing a complete Faulkner blank over here. This is where my 15 points behind the mic has gone.
A complete Faulkner blank here.
It is Faulkner a really blank. Ugly hole in his memory, too. It's Faulkner-shaped. It's crazy.
It's nuts. Look homeward, Angel. That's it's not right, but just not to tap out. We'll just go look homeward, Angel.
All right.
I bet we've heard of it, though.
I'm sure I've heard of both of them. I've probably read at least both of them.
Gentlemen?
Well, Suhas and I both wrote down different answers, and actually this title comes from Shakespeare, right?
Yes, it does. Yep. Yeah, from Macbeth.
And it is The Sound and the Fury.
That's it.
What was the other one that you had, by the way?
As I Lay Dying.
As I Lay Dying. In this case, 1954's A Fable and 1962's The Reavers.
Ooh.
A Fable and The Reavers are the correct choices. Wow.
Okay, we're not going to squander this one.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're going back into people's wheelhouses. Round 5, Category 3 is movies. Lots of people know that Atreyu was the name of the boy in The Neverending Story.
True.
What was the name of the dragon? The Luck Dragon, to be specific.
Well, we're locked in.
All right. Suhas and Adam.
If you listen closely, my children are actually watching this movie downstairs. As
are they
speak.
Really?
They are.
That's amazing. Get off the floor, Adam. Don't put your ear to the ground. What are you doing?
I think that this was not... Well, Mike knows it right away, but I don't think it's my era. I think it was a little bit after, and I know it's some guy riding around on a big dog.
That's a luck dragon.
Never-ending story.
I mean, I have seen the movie, but I haven't watched it in 30 years.
It's much more depressing as an adult. Much more depressing.
Yeah, it's at best a faint memory for me, so that I'm struggling to come up with a name. Unless you have a guess that you really feel like going with, Adam, I'll just throw something out there and we can move on.
Throw something out there.
Okay, I'm going to go with Clotho.
Clotho, one of the three fates.
That's right.
That's right. All right, Dan, Mike.
Well, years ago when I first started playing trivia, before Team Trivia was in Charlotte, we had this exact question.
Whoa.
And
I didn't steal it.
No, I'm sure you did.
I wrote it myself.
But the reason I am certain about this is because, and I knew I was close, and there's an actor named Eric Balfour, and I got stuck on Balfour, and I turned in Balfour, and they gave me credit.
What?
But the correct answer is Falcor.
Not to be confused with Rock Me Amadeus Falco.
Very close right. to Falco. The correct answer is Falcor. Good job. Okay. That Falcor question was a big one. Dan and Mike have a lead now. 111 to 101. It all boils down to this. Round 6. Question 1. Category is sports.
Sports.
What two teams were in the middle of an NBA Finals game when the O.J. Simpson white Ford Bronco chase broke out?
We're going to lock in.
All right.
Okay. Pretty sure this was 1994.
You're right.
Which would preclude the Bulls because the Bulls were 91, 92, 93, and then 96, 97, 98.
Right.
This was in the Jordan-less years. So it would have been the Rockets because the Rockets won the two that the Bulls didn't win.
Okay.
And they played the Knicks in one of those years. And they played, I want to say, the Pacers in the other year. But the Pacers' big thing came with against the Knicks that year. That's when Reggie Miller was the right. was just on fire against the Knicks. The Rockets, for sure. It's one of those two. What do you think? Do you have a recollection of this?
I'm thinking from the 30 for 30, it was the Pacers.
You think so?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I could be wrong. But we're sure about the year, though, right? It was June because I know like all the big events that were going on at that time was Arnold Palmer was playing his last game.
I was in Europe in 93, and I want to say I remember the Knicks being there then. So let's go with
Pacers.
Let's go with the Pacers. Yeah, okay. We'll go with the Rockets and the Pacers.
Rockets and the Pacers. All right. Adam, Suhas?
Yeah. Well, we had the same thinking that Dan had. It was, in fact, in June of 1994. And like Dan, I watched The People versus O.J. Simpson, which for those of you listening at home, if you haven't watched that, it's definitely worth watching. It's actually a pretty good accounting of the whole trial from Nicole Brown Simpson's murder to the verdict. And the murder was, I believe, June 13th, 1994. And the chase was a few days later. It was actually the Knicks versus the Rockets in 94. The Rockets played the Magic in 95.
I'm pretty sure that's right now. Yep.
The Rockets did play the Magic in 95, but the chase was in 94. It is the Knicks versus the Rockets. Good job. Tie game again.
Oh, we're keeping score? Okay.
All right, round six, question two. Your category is comic books. Guido Carosella's first appearance in a comic book was New Mutants number 29 as the bodyguard of what teleporting mutant? And two bonus points if you can tell me Guido's X-Factor code name.
I'm walking out of this one. This is you, Mike. This is all you. If ever there was a question that was built for you, it's circled. So apparently we're locked in.
You're locked in.
I have to admit, I didn't read a lot of New Mutants. I did read some X-Factor, and I've read X-Men. And so I'm basing this more on the part about the teleporting mutant. I'm certainly not anywhere near Mike's league in terms of comic book knowledge. Not many people are. But I think that as far as teleporting mutants go, the first name that came to my mind was Nightcrawler. And he was definitely around by the time in terms of the storylines. He had been introduced by that point. I just don't remember him having a bodyguard. I'm just going to go with the sort of first answer that came to my mind, even though I'm not confident it's right. I don't have any idea on the bonus, unfortunately. I'll just go with Nightcrawler. And as far as his X-Factor code name, I'll say bodyguard.
All right. So, Dan, you deferred to Mike.
I deferred to Mike on this one.
What did you think the answer was?
Well, I had Nightcrawler written down.
Person I remember having a bodyguard, and I don't remember her having an actual code name from New Mutants, was Lila Cheney. She was a rock star who was actually dated the character Sam Guthrie Cannonball for a while. But now I remember, you said New Mutants 29, right?
Yes.
That might have been around the time that Ileana Rasputin became Magic. But
she definitely teleports.
But Strong Guy is what Guido's code name is, and I'm pretty certain he was introduced as Lila Cheney's bodyguard.
Correct answer, gentlemen. Lila Cheney.
Good job.
The bonus was Strong Guy. Guido is comically large and stupid.
Yes.
And so he gave himself the nickname Strong Guy because he was a strong guy.
Well, he was also a bodyguard.
He could have very well given himself the name bodyguard.
Yeah, yeah. But at that point,
in
he
another
wasn't
universe,
a bodyguard.
Right. So. In another universe, he called himself bodyguard.
All right. Round six, question three. Category is assassins. Two well-known assassins were known to shout the phrase, "Sic Semper Tyrannis," before committing their crimes. Name both assassins.
We're locked in.
If they're not written down, they're not locked in. Are you written down?
We're written down.
Yeah. Right. Well, you start talking.
We're both
then.
On the
we're
same
both
page.
Rocking.
Yeah. He wrote down one. I wrote down the one.
He wrote down the other one.
So what did you write down?
Well, we wrote down, famously, in my mind, is John Wilkes Booth before he jumped and broke his leg on the stage.
And I believe he was quoting Brutus.
Brutus, correct.
So your answers are?
John Wilkes Booth and Brutus.
Okay.
We said the exact same thing, John Wilkes Booth and Brutus.
The correct answers are John Wilkes Booth and Brutus. You are both correct. All right. The score going into the final. It is 133 for Mike and Dan to 121 for Suhas and Adam. Your final category is literature.
Literature.
You guys do that really well. It's almost like a chorus.
They have a lot of practice from Team Trivia Games. Huh?
All right, we got our wager.
Okay.
Okay, so we've come up with our...
You've got your number. It's written down, circled, and off to the side. Here we go. I am going to name four famous books. I want you to put them in order by total word count, from most to least. Here are your books.
Feeling a lot better about my wager.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It by Stephen King. War and Peace. And Ulysses. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It. War and Peace. And Ulysses. Put them in order from the most words to the least words. I will tell you that the closest together are more than 60,000 words apart. So these are nice big ranges between them.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay. I think this is a pretty tough question just because they're all long books. My feeling on it was that that in terms of number of pages, War and Peace is actually longer than Harry Potter and It. But Ulysses is one that I really am not that familiar with.
I think that War and Peace is famously long.
Right.
And I did, what was it, about a year and a half ago, got about halfway through it. And not only is it very long, but it's also written in, you have the English translation, and then there's passages that are in Russian and in German and in French that you kind of have to translate in your head or look at the notes for. So I'm almost positive that War and Peace is number one, that that's the longest.
Okay.
Two, I have read Ulysses. Not only is that extremely long, it's very dense, and there's a lot of references that somebody in 21st century United States doesn't understand. So I would almost guarantee that it's War and Peace and Ulysses. I have never read I read the first paragraph, I think, of the first Harry Potter book, and I don't even know what that is. I know that they're big books, but I know that the print is pretty big also, and it's well spaced. I remember the hard copy. That's a pretty big book. So I would say that that's number three, and the Deathly Hallows.
I agree with most of what you said. Now, I've actually read Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and it's a pretty long book. I think Order of the Phoenix might actually be longer in terms of number of pages, but Deathly Hallows is way up there. I actually think, like you did, that it is a long book, but it's not longer than The Stand. And I own a copy of The Stand. It's like the copy that I own, which maybe actually an abridged version, is like 1,100 pages. So, and it is not as long as The Stand. So based on that thinking, I put Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows third, because I think it's close to 1,000 pages, not over 1,000, but close. And it is significantly under 1,000 pages. Now, I didn't take into account things like the font or the, you know, the point they used or things like that. So maybe I'm wrong, but I think Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows is third, and I think it is fourth.
I just finished reading Ulysses while they were talking that out.
That works for me.
You know, at the risk of getting this wrong and losing the game and
bringing shame to your family's name.
That's right, exactly. Disgracing ourselves. We're going to lock in with War and Peace as the most words, Ulysses as the second most words, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows as the third most words, and It by Stephen King as the fourth most words.
All right.
You may as well have said, write down these four books in any order you want and read them to me, because we weren't even trying to suss this one out.
Yeah, I mean, War and Peace, notoriously long, so that's what we went with. I have read It. I know that it's close to 1,000 pages. When It came out, at the time, it was the longest thing he had written or had published at that time. Then we went with The Hallows, because it's got a bigger font, according to Dan. I go with that same one. And plus, we're figuring, you know, that's got really long words, like, you know, Caliphilicious or whatever.
Alohomora.
Exactly. So, you know, the word count's probably going to be less just based on that alone. And then I got Ulysses, you know, fourth, because it's a poem. So that's what we went with.
Because it's a poem.
It's a poem. All right, gentlemen, your correct order, with 587,000 words, War and Peace with 444,000 words, 414. It by Stephen King, 265,000 words for Ulysses, and 198,000 words for Deathly Hallows, which does have a bigger font and greater spacing. Correct answers are War and Peace, It, Ulysses, and Deathly Hallows.
But Ulysses is a poem.
All right, gentlemen, it comes down to wagers. Suhas and Adam, what was your wager?
Our wager was 25.
So you ended with the old 96er.
That's right.
Is that the right number for the Great Outdoors stake, by the way?
I believe it is.
It is.
Good.
It is.
All right. Yes. I was like, I hope I didn't just make that up. I think that's a real thing. All right, Dan and Mike, I assume you didn't bet more than 25.
Well, what do winners bet?
This winner typically bets zero.
Yeah, we also bet zero.
We went zero, yes.
Well done.
You hadn't gotten lit out of your mouth when we had zero written down. So.
Right.
So the final score, Mike and Dan with 133, Suhas and Adam with 96. Mike and Dan, you are our North Carolina champions.
Well done.
Nice job, guys. We did. I was impressed.
Oh, it was. Trust me, it was earned. It was not given. It was earned.
Right. All right, guys. So I'm not going to write any. I'm not going to read any reviews. I think that it's safe to say that you are all our Warheads of the Week this week. Thank you so much for participating. Thank you for inviting me up.
We do have a couple of TWA promotions to announce. We have a new lieutenant in the Trivial Warfare Army, Tony Parencio. Tony, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. Tony's already sent his picture in. He's up on the Trivial Warfare Army page on the website. Thank you for your $5 a month donation, Tony. And we have a new private, Brian Eller. Brian, I got to tell you, that $1 a month donation to be a private, that is really meaningful to me, and I say that with the deepest level of sincerity. The reality is, you can get this show for free. There's nobody who's going to stop you from listening as much as you want, and you don't have to pay a red cent. So when you make the commitment to even donate a dollar, that really is saying something about what you feel about the show. And I want to acknowledge that and say thank you very much.
All right, guys, well, we're going to wrap it up. That is Dan, that is Mike, that is Adam, that is Suhas, and I'm Jonathan. This has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Can you think of a mayor meme?
Oh, mayor of Lonely Town. No, that's me.
Now that could be a meme. I mean,
exactly.
Oh, that's right. Don't let me forget. When we find my camera, we have to take a picture before we leave.
Okay.
Don't let me forget.
Because
I need to start the Mayor of Lonely Town meme.